From the towering Wasatch Mountains of the American Southwest, we welcome you to this episode of Undiscovered Utah. This show focuses on the mysteries that surround the rugged, difficult, and sometimes deadly American Southwest. I'm your host, JB, and tonight we're talking about hitting the road, getting away, taking a much-needed break, getting out of Dodge. Let me tell you something. It's time for you to blow the stink off. That's what my grandfather would say when he needed to get away. He loved going up to Strawberry Reservoir to go camping and fishing. It was his heaven on earth. Once in a while, we would get to tag along. It made for some great memories. So what memories are you making for your kids or grandkids? Where are you going to go to get away from it all, if even just for the weekend? Disneyland? Hawaii? Those are fantastic options if you can afford them. But you don't have to break the bank to make great memories. Just go camping. What type of camper are you? Are you the type that hike far into the backcountry to find extreme solitude? Maybe you're more of a weekend warrior that just wants to get away for an enjoyable weekend. Maybe you even hate camping. You hate the bugs. You can't get a good night's rest. It's burning hot in the day and freezing cold at night. Oh, and don't forget about the bugs. Big ones, little ones, biting ones, stinging ones. And what the heck are all those strange noises at night? Why would anyone enjoy camping? We all have different limits of what are acceptable camping conditions. And they range anywhere from staying in a 5-star hotel to making a burrito and sleeping on top of the snow in the dead of winter. If you don't know what a burrito is, you need to go winter camping with scouts. Tonight, I want to share some tips of what you can do to make camping an enjoyable outing that will enable you to access more of the undiscovered parts of Utah. I have been on the best camping trips, and I have been on the worst camping trips, and everything in between. What makes camping enjoyable to me might not be enjoyable to you. And that's okay. I often hear people say things like, "It's not even camping if you have a tent." Yes, it is. You do you. Camping should be enjoyable, so make it enjoyable for you. Let's start out talking about the planning of your camping trip. First, decide how many nights you want to be gone. Then decide how many people you want to go camping with. I highly recommend going camping with people you enjoy being around. That's may seem extremely obvious, but you would be surprised. What kind of food do you want to have to prepare, eat, and clean up to enjoy a camping trip? Spend some real time thinking about that one. Besides camping, there are other activities you would like to do. What are they? What are your backup plans if your camping spot you wanted isn't available? Or what if the weather gets bad? The more you plan, the better your trip will be. I remember as a teenager, my brother and I, and a few of our friends, decided to go on a camping trip out in the West Desert of Utah. We had a 2-man tent. One of the boys was going to bring venison steaks for dinner. We were going to take our .22 rifles and maybe hunt some jackrabbits. We had it all planned out, or so we thought. It was going to be a great trip. We all piled into my dad's 2-tone GMC pickup and threw our gear in the back. Of course, we couldn't possibly all fit in the cab of the pickup, so a few boys jumped in the back with the gear. Man, this was going to be awesome. We drove and we drove and drove. Paved roads quickly turned into dirt roads, and we just kept driving. We finally found what looked to us to be the perfect camping spot in the Utah West Desert in the middle of summer. It was still midday, so we decided to go hunt rabbits. We had all taken the hunter safety classes when we were younger, and we had all grown up around guns. Our parents and grandparents had taught us how to handle guns. Being around guns was as normal as breathing air to us. So the hunt was on. We were spread out, walking in a line so no one was in front of anyone else, and we were driving the rabbits out of the brush. We soon noticed that as we walked through the knee-to-waist-high sagebrush that we were kicking up more than just rabbits. There were mosquitoes everywhere. What in the world are mosquitoes doing in the desert? I thought they needed water. Holy cow! There were billions of them swarming all around us. Of course, we were almighty hunters, and some mosquitoes were not going to deter our plan, so we pressed on. We had to be tough. Don't allow the other boys to notice that the mosquitoes were actually driving us crazy. Looking for rabbits was the least of my concerns. None of us had thought to bring any kind of bug repellent, and apparently these mosquitoes were bloodthirsty. I remember looking over at my older brother to see if the mosquitoes were bugging him as bad as they were bugging me. What I saw shocked me. My brother was wearing a cowboy hat, and I think most of us were. This was the Wild West, after all. As I looked over at my brother, I noticed that mosquitoes, by the hundreds, were sitting on the rim of his cowboy hat like they were sitting on the edge of a swimming pool drinking tequilas. I couldn't take it anymore. I was being eaten alive. I was going insane. Finally, one of the older boys suggested that we should head back to camp. Glory, glory, hallelujah. After we broke through the sagebrush and got closer to camp, the mosquito equivalent to Oktoberfest began to subside. But the damage had been done. Anywhere we had exposed skin, and even some places that weren't exposed skin, we had mosquito bites. Oh my goodness, they itched so bad. My wise older brother looked at me and said, "Don't scratch them." Yeah, right. We decided we were done hunting for the day and that it was time to get camp set up. I set up my two-man tent that I had purchased with my own money for doing odd jobs for the neighbors. My brother and the other boys set their tents up also. We collected some firewood and started a fire. I don't remember if we had taken chairs to sit on or not. Most likely not. We were all running low on iron due to the mosquitoes and decided it was time to cook the venison steaks. As I remember it, all we brought to eat was the venison steaks and nothing else. No seasoning, no salt and pepper, no steak sauce. The steaks were as tender as a brand new army boot and had that delicious wild meat taste. Needless to say, I didn't care for mine too much. The sun was getting low in the western sky, and we put more wood on the fire. And that's when we saw the first one scamper across the ground. But what was it? A couple boys got up to investigate. Oh, there goes another one. There's one over there. What are they? They're tarantulas. We all leaped to our feet. If the mosquitoes weren't bad enough, now we have big, hairy, eight-legged tarantula spiders running through camp like they owned the place. This camping trip was turning into a real blast. It was time to head to the safety of our tent that we could zip shut. So we all calmly bid each other good night and retired for the evening. How many of you have slept in a two-man pup tent from the 1970s? Two-man, my... Only two tarantulas could actually fit in this thing. But that was not an option, so I jammed myself into the claustrophobic light blue 1970s shelter. In Utah West Desert, the days are hot, very hot. But after the sun goes down, it can get cold. Luckily, when I was a young lad, I could fall asleep fast and sleep through anything. Well, almost anything. In the middle of the night, I was suddenly woken by a flash of extreme light that sounded like a bomb going off. Almost immediately after the bang and the loud rumble, it started to rain in torrents. You know, it was like when it rains in Florida during a tropical storm. Only this isn't Florida. This is the Utah West Desert. It doesn't get much rain, but this night it was pouring buckets. And there was constant lightning and thunder that shook the ground. Funny thing about 1970s two-man pup tents. They weren't very waterproof. If you touch the side of the thin fabric, it immediately becomes the very opposite of waterproof. The two little poles holding the tent up started to lean in towards each other as the rain started to pool in the middle of the top of the tent. Now, when you're laying down on your back in a two-man pup tent, the top of the tent is about 1.5 to 2 feet away from your nose. Super roomy. However, when the rain starts to pool on the top of the tent, that tent starts to sag quickly towards your face. This is how the military invented waterboarding. I was cold, wet, I itched like crazy. I had two metal poles above my head, lightning popping all around me. I was being waterboarded by my tent. This sucked. I decided to peek out my tent to see how the other fellows were doing. I just really wanted to go home. I could go get in the truck, but if the other boys found out, I would never hear the end of how I was too scared to sleep in my tent during a rainstorm. As I peeked out of my tent, I could only catch glimpses of the surrounding camp when a flash of lightning lit up the area. Otherwise, it was pitch black. What I saw during the next brief illumination of a gigantic spark of electricity that we call lightning was absolutely terrifying to me. They were gone. All the other tents and boys were gone. There was no one around that I could see. I waited for the next flash of lightning, which was in about 3 seconds after the last one, and sure enough, they were gone. What the heck? I got dressed as best I could in a nearly flat tent while, of course, being waterboarded. Okay, that's enough about the waterboarding references. it wasn't quite that bad. I mustered all the courage I had in the middle of a pitch-black night out in the desert during a Florida tropical-type storm, being sucked dry by mosquitoes, chased around the camp by tarantulas. I got out of the tent, hoping that the truck was still there. It was. So I bolted toward the truck. And much to my surprise, all of my fellow campers, including my brother, were jammed into the cab of the truck. My brother opened the door of the truck and said, "What took you so long? We have been waiting for you. Get your tent and throw it in the back of the truck." So I did. We drove all night long back home. We dropped our friends off at their homes and then drove to our home, went inside, and collapsed on our beds. Now, you would think after a camping trip like that I would never go camping again. I did learn some important things on that trip. One thing I learned was to plan for the worst and hope for the best. I also learned that some of the worst camping trips that I've been on make for the best stories. It's been 50 years since that camping trip, and I can still, quite vividly in my mind, see the whole thing. Maybe not as it really happened, but it's still vivid. The perfect camping trips aren't quite as memorable. Whether you're sleeping under the stars or in a tent or in a $140,000 trailer, planning your trip can save you a lot of heartache. But know that things do go wrong. That's just life. Deal with it as best as you can. Ask for help if you need it, and continue on with your trip if you can. Utah has literally thousands of areas to camp, from campgrounds inside national parks to private campgrounds like KOAs or Good Sam's to boondocking it on BLM land. There is something for everyone's taste and budget. The more remote you are willing to be in your camping, the more of this great state you'll get to explore. Let's say you want to visit Moab, you have a family of teenagers that you want to take on a fun family vacation, but you're on a tight budget. Where can you camp for next to nothing, and where there's things to do to entertain the kids? Along the Colorado River between Moab and the Dewey Bridge are many areas to camp right next to the Colorado River. The BLM manages this land and have created, get this, 26 campgrounds along this stretch of the river. Every campground provides picnic tables, fire pits, trash removal, and vaulted toilets. The scenery is exquisite. And you are minutes away from Arches National Park, Canyonlands National Park, and Moab. These sites are just $20 a night. That is way cheaper than a hotel room in Moab during the peak season. Now, let's say you want to go on a camping trip in or around Park City, Utah, and rub shoulders with the rich and the famous. You want a swimming pool and be close to world-class golf courses. Well, maybe the private campground called the Park City RV Resort is the place for you. You can contact them for more information. Personally, when we camp, we like to go boondocking. We do it about 90% of the time. What is boondocking? Well, it's basically primitive camping. There are no facilities, no water, no bathrooms, nothing. You pack it in, you pack it back out. And I mean everything you pack in, you pack out. Here are just a few of the places we love to go camping. And many times we are all alone or close to it. The San Rafael Swell is a great place to boondock. This is a huge area, and there are plenty of places to find a nice, quiet place to pull off and set up camp for free. There are a few proper campgrounds in the swell that have restrooms and picnic tables if you are so inclined, and the fees vary. Have you ever heard of a place called Little Egypt? This is not the same place as Little Sahara. Little Egypt is down past Hanksville, Utah. It is like a small Goblin Valley. It is quite remote. I think the nearest tree is 100 miles away, so you have to bring your own shade. For that fact, you have to bring everything. This is boondocking at its best. Kids of all ages will have a blast playing in and around the hoodoos. Keep an eye out for petrified wood and agate and corprolite. If you don't know what corprolite is, you need to listen to more of our episodes. If you're looking for a cooler place to camp this summer, you can head to the mountains. The canyons along the Wasatch Front can get crazy busy during the summer months as people try to escape the heat. Most campgrounds are reserved 6 months in advance, so if you want to stay in a campground, you better plan way ahead. Again, boondocking can become a very attractive alternative, but you're going to need to be willing to head deeper into the backcountry to find a place. But there are some fantastic spots if you know where to find them. Take some time and get away from the internet and TV. Unplug your devices and go see this awesome state of Utah. There are so many places to see and so many things to do. Go camping up Diamond Fork and make the short hike to the Hot Pots and take a dip. Or travel to the Hyuinas and back into one of the far-off lakes. Just be sure to listen to our episode on Bigfoot before you go too deep into the forest. Camp at the White Mountain just south of Meadow, Utah, and play in the pure white gypsum sand dunes. And then visit gigantic lava tubes that are just over the hill. They're so big you could drive a semi through them. But watch for snakes. And don't forget that one of the best hot springs in all the western United States is just outside the town of Meadow. It is largely still undiscovered, except to the locals who have recreated there for over 100 years. If you need some ideas of where to go and what to do, just drop us an email. We would be glad to offer up some suggestions. And to all of you who have emailed us or messaged us on Facebook or Instagram, thank you. We love to hear from our listeners. Many of you have offered suggestions on future episodes, and we are working on some of those right now. So thank you again. Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you for joining me. If you would like more information about tonight's episode, you can email me at info@undiscoveredutah.com. You can find us on the internet at undiscoveredutah.com or on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And be sure to follow us. Just search for Undiscovered Utah. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Undiscovered Utah. Join me next time as I share more about the Great Southwest. Good night, everybody.